Hello and welcome to Launch. We're broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon. My co-host is Bill McHenry. Bill, are you staying warm today?
I am, Ron. I'm up in Wisconsin. It's a little cool this morning, but it's going to be a beautiful sunny day.
Okay. Well, you know, Bill, on Launch, we focus on the launching of a business so that entrepreneurs and our listeners can successfully navigate their launch. This morning, we're featuring Allison Newton of Allison Newton Consulting. But before we get started, Bill, could you thank today's sponsor?
Sure, Ron. Today, our sponsor is Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing. Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing is your one-stop source for all your marketing, sales, and business development needs. We customize and implement a business strategy to help you build your business, grow your sales, and encourage your success.
Well, that's super. Well, you know, Allison is a product development expert. She's really a savvy and stylish entrepreneur. When you have an idea, you know, on the back of a napkin or just a little doodle or whatever, she can start with that and off she goes. She's drawing from more than 12 years' experience in product development with successful and well-respected companies like Nordstrom and Saks and Spanx. And she really focuses her time on supporting and empowering entrepreneurs and nurturing their ideas and supporting their development and strategically launching their product.
You know, Ron, I've really been looking forward to this interview with Allison and having Allison on as our guest. Welcome, Allison. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you both? This is a great opportunity to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, of course. It's so great to have you on our show. We really appreciate it. Tell me, Allison, how did you come up with your consulting idea?
The consulting business really came from I had left corporate America, decided that I really wanted to go out on my own and kind of sow my entrepreneurial oats, so to speak, and started a company and really found that through that process where my skill set, my talents and my skill set were really helping and assisting other entrepreneurs. And so decided that I was really going to help other people facilitate their product development needs, based on all of my experience. And so kind of almost fell into it, so to speak, had, you know, referrals and people asking me to help. And so far it's been a lot of word of mouth, but just kind of growing the business that way and helping people with their needs. So if somebody needs something from, you know, putting together a business plan or getting a product executed, having a prototype made, doing some costing, some sourcing, kind of soup to nuts, whatever it is, my experience has been able to help those entrepreneurs kind of facilitate their goals and product.
Yeah, that's really great. Allison.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you know, I've heard it said that if you're going to walk through a minefield, it's good to put your feet in the steps of somebody that's already successfully gotten through that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good to have a guide. So, you know, do you think that one person needs to have a particular personality to be an entrepreneur?
Absolutely. I think you have to be determined, you have to be ambitious, but you also have to be fearless. There's so many different things that happen and come up, and, you know, a lot of time entrepreneurs, it's a sole proprietor situation, so it's one person, and you're tackling, you know, 10,000 different tasks at times. It can be so incredibly overwhelming, and you really have to focus on, tackling each project, being fearless and not necessarily getting mired in the muck, you know, making that quick decision and moving on so that you can actually run your business and not get stuck in that kind of fear.
Yeah, I agree on the part about courage. I remember for years, you know, when I was working in corporate America, I would look at people that started their own business and I would be absolutely mystified as to how they had the courage to actually start their own business because, mm-hmm. you know, no floor but no ceiling. And it was the no floor part that kind of bothered me, okay? But you're right. If there's one common thread, is you got to have some courage.
I think it's really, it's been an asset to me because, you know, throughout my career, you have successes, you have ups, your downs, and you also have some failures. And you can't let those failures stop you. And you have to figure out a way to creatively get around them. And if everybody, you know, stopped because they were afraid of tackling something, we wouldn't have a lot of these fantastic products or, you know, fabulous businesses. So I think it's really, that would be my number one kind of personality trait that you must have.
Yep, I agree.
I agree with that, too. And, you know, people ask me often, you know, when I started my own business and so on, and I talk about the fear and the courage, and I kind of smile, and I always say, you know what, I think you might have to be a little stupid, too.
I probably would agree with that. I left my job. I left, you know, corporate America in a bad economy. I had a secure job, and I thought, well, this is probably the craziest thing I've ever done, but I can honestly say it was the best thing I've ever done, too.
Sure. You know, Allison, how did you overcome the fear of the failure or the stumbling when you started your business or getting out of corporate America?
I think, you know, at first I really didn't. And at first I kind of got mired in the decision-making process, and I was – sometimes it would almost paralyze me. But what I actually found was kind of when I took that deep breath and you know, reassessed the situation, I could see kind of the answer more clearly. And once I kind of let go of, you know, all of the pressure that I was putting on myself and just kind of focused on the business and executing what I needed to do, that's when my true success kind of came through. So it was almost letting go of all of the pressures and expectations that I had, you know, not to fail is when I became almost more successful.
Yeah, I read many years ago the difference between a successful salesperson and an unsuccessful salesperson is the unsuccessful salesperson says, you know, I'm not going to make any appointments until I get my presentation perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the successful one says, you know, I'd better work on my presentation for these three appointments I've made for tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I think that translates to entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. It's like instead of trying to get all your ducks in a row, go out and get a duck first.
Yeah. I think, too, we strive for perfection everywhere in our life, and it's just completely unattainable. And we think that even in business, you know, it's going to be perfect. You're always going to have to course correct. And that's kind of the beauty of a small business and being an entrepreneur. You're so nimble, you can do all of those things. So, you know, you don't have to go through corporate America and all the red tape.
Yeah, because I know even on simple things like putting together, a brochure for a prospect, I always recommend that you do your own, you know, get a really nice printer and some good software, because you're going to tweak it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Especially
in that first couple of years. And so if you sit there and just did one, you know, professionally at the beginning, and then you look at it and you're like, oh, gee, I wish I had put this sentence in there or that picture or whatever. You really need to keep things as flexible as possible.
Absolutely.
At the beginning.
Absolutely.
So how did you get started when you realized you wanted to have your own business? I mean, were you systematic in your approach, having a really, you know, detailed business plan, or was it more of a by the seat of your pants?
I'd kind of say almost both, and I think that that's kind of an important balance. You know, I business plans sometimes can overwhelm me, 150 pages of words or whatever it is, and so I prefer to think about it more as a vision, setting yourself goals, setting yourself timelines to accomplish different things, and being able to, you know, hold yourself accountable and measure those things. So I kind of, you know, I lay out, here are my 10 goals for what I want to accomplish right now. Here's what I need to do in 90 days. Here's what I need to do in 120 days. Here's what I need to do, you know, in 5 years, and here's where I want to be. And then at that point, I really measure against it. And so that's kind of what I use. That's kind of my approach. So, but at the same time, you know, I can be nimble, and so I can change my goals, and I can, you know, ebb and flow and course correct as I need to. So it's kind of, you know, vision and seat of the pants a little bit.
Yeah, I know. My concept of a business plan is just answering the basic questions of like, well, who's the customer?
Mm-hmm.
What are they buying? You know, why are they buying?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they buying it for me? And how much will they pay?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And how do I reach them? You know, that's basically it.
Yeah, I think you have to have that vision. You also have to do your homework. So you have to know how your product or how your service is going to fit into the marketplace and what the need is. And so all of those things kind of surrounding that. But you really, doing your homework is so key as well. Absolutely.
Agreed.
And you really nailed it too, Allison, and Ron mentioned it too, with the flexibility. You have to be so flexible when you're starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you might be going one direction, and you have to be willing and able to change. It's
mm-hmm.
really important.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes people, if they get too stuck on their path, then you stay on this, you know, downward spiral, which is kind of one of almost the worst mistakes I made. Was I had my vision. I knew where I was going to go, and I didn't course correct probably when I should have. But, you know, hindsight, it's 2020 now. I learned about that.
Well, I know my wife says that this has probably been the most expensive education I've ever had.
Exactly. And you're going to have some of those, and it's okay.
Talk to me.
Yeah, because, you know, if I'd known at the beginning what I know now, I could have saved myself a lot of money and time. You know?
Yep. I know I often laugh that my wife is the greatest person in the world because she's put up with me for so long with this nonsense I'm trying to do. So,
there you go.
You know, and I was thinking, Allison, you commented about the worst mistake and not being flexible that you made. But what could you tell our listeners to help them to avoid making mistakes? And if you do make mistakes, because we all do and we all will and we'll continue to do it, how do you know when to change course?
Absolutely. You know, it's inevitable. We're all going to make mistakes, and we should just admit that freely.
Right.
And I think once you do that, you kind of, you know, can free yourself up to see beyond the mistake. I think you have to take it to heart, and you definitely have to learn from it. So you have to look and evaluate, well, what did I do? How can I do that better? And how can I do that differently going forward? But not get so stuck in that mistake that you can't, you know, move past it. Because in a small business, day to day, operations change and business changes. And, you know, as a startup, you really have to make, you know, move on quickly, I guess, and recover. And, you know, I think a lot of times, too, people underestimate their, you know, trusting kind of their internal guide. So, you know, one of the mistakes I made was I, you know, had my vision and I had somebody or a couple of people who were giving me different advice, you know, whether it's family members or friends or business associates. And I kind of lost my way a little bit on my vision and realized that at the end of the day, I should have kind of been, you know, more, I should have gone back to where I thought I was going to be. So I think, you know, trusting your instincts as well and knowing that, you know, you've done your homework, you've done your research. You know, it's great to have people kind of interact with you and challenge things. But at the end of the day, making the best decision based on where you want to go in your vision. So,
yeah. One of my favorite books is The Magic of Thinking Big. I read it many years ago. And one chapter really has stuck with me. They said that if you go to, you know, a homeless shelter and you kind of poll people about where they came from, of course you're going to find drug addicts and alcoholics and like that and broken people from broken homes. Mm-hmm. But you also find some really highly educated people and people that, you know, were there, you know, in corporate America, which is kind of surprising. But then if you actually interview the people that are at the top of success in corporate America and entrepreneurs, you'll find the same demographics. The demographics are exactly identical at the top of success and the bottom of the rung. Hmm. And he said that the difference was how they handled defeat. That the people that are at the bottom, you know, once they got hit by a failure, they just laid flat or went away whimpering, saying, I'll never try again. Mm-hmm. And the people at the top, when they got hammered, said, boy, that hurt. Let's don't make that mistake again. and they kept on going.
I think that's so true. I think it's the recovery and the learning from the mistakes. You know, a lot of new businesses fail, and it's, you know, how you pick yourself back up and look at, you know, what did I do? How can I do it differently? What did I learn from it? That's what makes you so much stronger.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, I've also read that, you know, only 10%, as an entrepreneur, only about 10% of the effort that you put in is going to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you don't know which 10% it is. And so you have to put in 100% in order to figure out, you know, what the 10% is. What was the best investment you made to be able to support your business?
I think, you know, in my consulting business, I really kind of look at opportunities that are self-funding, I guess I would say, or I take on a lot of responsibility. So I kind of, it's two parts. So number one, I take on a lot of responsibility so that I don't have to, you know, put a lot of cash out. And anything that I do, I try to tackle. So for example, you know, tackled my website. It's not perfect by any sense of the means, but, you know, it hasn't held me back in business. It's been able to communicate to people. I find a lot of people, you know, outsource a lot of different things and spend, you know, their money that way, which is okay. But at the end of the day, you know, if you've got your budget and you've got a small a pot to draw from, sometimes it's better to take on tasks for yourself. And then the other thing, whenever I evaluate opportunities that come up or, you know, different engagements or things that I can participate in, I really look on return on investment. So how long is it going to take me to have that return on investment? What is the return on investment? Making sure that, you know, my numbers match up so that I, at the end of the day, am a profitable business.
Yeah, I know. Websites, like a lot of other aspects of an entrepreneur's business, there's the knock your socks off, do-all website, and then there's good enough.
Right.
And that first year, you just need good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, something, if it's just brochureware that you did yourself, so that you've got a presence.
Absolutely.
And then as the income provide, you know, allows you to have one that's more razzle-dazzle to move on.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times people, again, try to achieve this perfect model or perfect business right out of the gate. And, you know, they might spend $10,000, $15,000 on a website kind of thing, and which is astronomical when you just need a place to communicate. And you need people to be able to find you and find your product or your service. And so, you know, you can always change and upgrade and things like that.
Yeah, and you know, it applies to furniture also. A lot of people say, well, I've got to have this big, you know, filing cabinets and a big credenza and mm-hmm. a big table and all like this. And, you know, the kitchen table is good enough at the beginning. Okay?
I love mine.
and meet, you know, you don't need a fancy office. You know, meet people at a coffee shop, you know, or a restaurant.
Absolutely. Know? I think that's great advice for your listeners. Absolutely. There's a lot of different places, and now, you know, with internet access so readily available everywhere, I mean, you can be anywhere and hop online and conduct online meetings or things like that. They're great tools.
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. The tools and the flexibility of things is so easy. And I remember when I started my business years ago, I had one person ask me, you know, why I didn't have a girl answering the phone. And I kind of smiled. I said, well, you know, I could have a girl answering the phone, but that means I'd have to charge you more. And you don't really need that girl to answer the phone or boy to answer the phone, if you will. You know,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, Alice, I was thinking, you know, tell me or tell our listeners what a typical day is for in the product development consulting world.
Sure. You know, it's every day is completely different. You know, a lot of people say that, but it really truly is. So, you know, I manage, you know, at any given time a number of clients. And, you know, my clients, I really kind of positioned my business to be as flexible as possible because everybody's needs are so incredibly different in product development. You know, for example, somebody might just want somebody to ask questions of or you know, bounce ideas off of, or, you know, can you look at my business plan and give me feedback? And so, you know, I might start my day you know, answering emails or looking at business plans. And the next thing I know, I'm talking to people in India or Asia or South America on a sourcing project and working on, you know, my client's behalf to execute their products. I do, you know, potentially right now I'm working on a different project, putting together some spec packs for some people. You know, spec packs help to get the product executed and made and put into production. And then the next thing I know,
maybe explain to our audience. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I spoke over you. Maybe explain what a spec pack is too, Alice.
Sure. Yeah. Of course. So if you've got a product that you want to have manufactured, a spec pack is really kind of your recipe, so to speak. So it's how to construct that product to your specifications so that when the product, you know, comes out of production or when you request a prototype, your first prototype, you're getting back exactly what you had in mind. So, for example, it might be, if it's on apparel, it could be, you know, what is the fabric content? What is the construction of the garment? What kind of seams do you have to have? What are the measurements of that garment? What are the colors? If it's more of a hard goods product, it could be dimensions or, you know, how to fasten something together. Just kind of anything that you need to have that product in your hands looking exactly the way that you want it at the end of the day. So I help clients execute those so that they can, you know, achieve their first prototype and can take it to market and ultimately receive orders and go into production.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a difference between working on the business and working in the business. You know, so while you're supporting your clients build their businesses, you mm-hmm. know, you're building yours. What goes on behind the scenes that our listeners might find helpful?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm always talking to people no matter where I am. I've met the most, you know, fabulous people. Met somebody on the streets of New York who was an editor for InStyle magazine and had a lovely conversation with her as we walked across the avenue. And so always, you know, extending yourself and talking to people. I think networking is so key. When I got into this business, it was really kind of a funny situation and slightly embarrassing as well. But I attended an event event, and the event was kind of how to launch your business, how to, you know, grow your business. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's something I really need. I really want to, you know, improve my education on this and find out things that maybe, you know, I'm missing and how I can tackle this. And what I realized was that it was a networking event and I had never really networked before. And I really didn't understand the value of it until being put in that situation, you know, almost by accident because I didn't realize that's what it was at the time. But it was so incredibly valuable. The people that I met at that event, you know, it kind of almost spurs a spider web of people. And so, you know, I think that is something that I do try to do on a daily basis. I try to look for, you know, different events that I can attend, always talking to people. And, you know, educating myself. So whether it be doing research on the internet or whether it be building, you know, my personal database of different suppliers and different contacts, I'm always behind the scenes trying to do something every day that works on building my brand and my business so that ultimately I can help contribute to, you know, the success of some of my clients.
Yeah, you know, I really think you nailed it with the networking piece, Allison. As I know, Tuesday morning I was flying back from New York City, and I was sitting next to a gal, and we just started chatting, and we chatted all the way back to Chicago about marketing, and she's involved in marketing and PR, and we've since Tuesday morning we've exchanged emails. We're going to meet again in New York City, and I've given her a couple leads, and she's given me a couple leads for our businesses. It's incredible how it happens.
I think it's, and you never know who's going to be sitting next to you or standing in line at the grocery store or, you know, eating lunch at the next table. You know, you just never know. And remarkable. And I think that, too, people have kind of they want to help and they want to share information. And sometimes all you have to do is ask the question and people will, you know, give you that helping hand that you need or, you know, you might not need it at that moment, but you can always kind of come back to it. It's really fascinating to me.
Yeah, I know.
It really is. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, one fellow that I know had invented a really neat device for advertising for sports arenas. Okay, mm-hmm. And one time he was on a little shuttle going to or from an airport, and the fellow sitting next to him, you know, was all nice suit and all like that, and the fellow next to him just kind of started the conversation. He says, well, what do you do? And he explained, you know, what he had come up with, and the guy just looks at him stunned and says, gee, why didn't I think of that? And he turned out to be the marketing director for a big drug company. He says, I want to advertise, you know, in the sports arenas using your
oh my gosh,
what you've got just from a conversation, you know.
Wow.
And so you're right. You never know who you're sitting next to.
Yeah, it's just absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it really is something. You know, Allison, tell our listeners about any tips you might have in starting their own businesses.
Sure. You know, I kind of, and it can relate to products and or services. I think, you know, you do have to have your vision. You have to know where you want to go. And really, you know, almost, I would say, equally as important, or if not more important, you need to really do your homework. And when I say do your homework, you need to understand who your clients are, who your business is targeting, what the marketplace is. I like to call it kind of the white space. Where is that niche? Where are you going to fulfill a need in that market? And what is the demand? And I think, you know, a lot of people, they have great ideas, but they don't necessarily do that research. And so that's kind of where I find a lot of my clients kind of, you know, come to me saying, okay, I've got this idea. Now what do I do? And so for me, it's, you know, well, who's your customer? And you go over kind of the basics with them. How are you going to launch this product? You know, what are the competitors doing in your white space? And I find that understanding those two things, those two components are absolutely critical. And then, you know, being fearless and putting it into action. So creating something manageable. You know, a lot of people work two jobs and they're trying to execute, you know, their business and launch their business at the same time they've got a day job and kind of doing whatever it takes to make that happen. Sometimes it's really difficult, but, you know, having that clear vision and really understanding your market kind of already helps to set you up for success so that ultimately you can, you know, choose whichever job you really like or really want to be in.
Yeah, you're on target with defining the niche. That's really, really important. I'm kind of curious that, you know, when you left the corporate world, you started off by designing a luxurious yet comfortable footwear collection. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was a really interesting experience, and this is kind of one of those, you know, I had a dream that I really wanted to fulfill. I love shoes. Footwear is absolutely my passion. It's ridiculous. My husband would say it's an addiction. I really wanted to do something different, and I went through the process of, you know, I worked two jobs, for about 9 months and just kind of over the top, flying all around the world to execute my product, and went to market and really found that there was a need for my product. But where I got stuck was I got thrown off track a little bit and realized that, you know, I needed to kind of course correct in my process. And through that, kind of almost took a step back, really, and reevaluated kind of where I wanted that company to go and how I wanted to build the company, and decided that, you know, I really needed to do things a little bit differently, finding investors and taking it to a different level. And so at this point, that's kind of where I am. And in the meantime, the consulting thing I talked about fell into my lap. And so it's kind of... It's an evolution, I would say, but it's something that I learned a lot from in launching my own product. So that's kind of what I can also provide to my clients and the successes and, you know, the failures, the pains and the gains and all of those different things and really coaching them through that product.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, many of our listeners, Allison, are developing products in their businesses and so on. If you had a... say just one or two points that of nuggets that you give someone some advice on those on the product development, what would you give people? What would you say to somebody that was about to start off on a launch type of a product?
Mm-hmm. I guess I can kind of relate it back to what is the most frequently asked questions, because there's some that kind of come up constantly. How do you find a manufacturer is kind of the number one question I receive. And so I always kind of coach people after you've done your vision, your business plan, you've kind of evaluated your market. Now what do you do? And if you're talking specifically about a product, it would be, how do I find that manufacturer? And I think that, you know, I've been really creative in how to find that manufacturer. So there are lots and lots of different organizations out, in the marketplace that really help to facilitate finding sources. So, for example, if you're looking for a manufacturer that can manufacture, you know, denim, well, you might, jeans or something like that, you might go directly to Cotton Incorporated, and you might ask them for different sources of where do they ship cotton to, who are the mills. The mills can then tell you, you know, where they ship different fabrics to, and you can find manufacturers that way. So I think it's finding creative ways to get around that. I also find, too, that people put a lot of their eggs in one basket. So multi-sourcing or, you know, whatever it is, it might be, you know, where do I get my sales collateral from? Well, if you're not doing it yourself and you do have to outsource that, then outsource it with a few different people. And I find, you know, that's really helpful because you get different perspectives, and sometimes you'll make, you know, you will make the best decision once you kind of have a broader view, I guess I would say. So those are kind of the two things that I find a lot of times people ask me.
Yeah, one of my clients.
Go ahead, Rand.
Yeah, one of my clients made that mistake of all the eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
It was a fabric related product, and involved a computer program to run the machine that created it and everything. And she had one supplier with one computer program, and they decided they were going to not do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so now she's stuck.
Yeah, and you have to start all over. And I would say that is probably the most time-consuming part of the process. And so really, you know, looking at a lot of different options is probably the best way to go, in my opinion, so that, you know, if something happens, somebody goes out of business, or, you know, a lot of times being the new guy, you will get bumped out for somebody who's, you know, a little bit bigger, more reliable, more, you know, has more credibility than a new company. So you really have to make sure that you find the right partner and diversify. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Allison,
I know that you had spent some time with Spanx, and I wish I could remember the gal's name that started Spanx, but I had the good fortune several years ago to meet her.
Sarah Blakely, yes.
The things, That's right, Sarah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I picked up from Sarah was just her energy and her enthusiasm.
Absolutely.
Comment on that a little bit for our listeners and the importance of having that energy and enthusiasm.
Well, I think, you know, it's so important as an entrepreneur, and Sarah does such a great job. She, is very, aggressive in terms of getting her product out there and sending a really great positive message, you know, to women, you know, all over the world at this point. And I think that, you know, any entrepreneur, you have to really believe in your product, believe in yourself, and, clearly articulate what that message is, at all costs. Get creative, and find different avenues to communicate to your consumer. I think that that's so incredibly important and something, you know, that Sarah absolutely, you know, did from the beginning, which was so valuable.
Yeah, I always tell people to go to Sarah's website and to read about her story because, to me, it's must reading of the things she did at the very beginning to start getting traction and momentum.
Absolutely.
And it was pretty much a five-year journey from concept to things really starting to roll. But, she enlisted her friends to go to a store and to pick up her product and make a big deal about it, you know, and show it to other folks.
Yeah,
and she said about the time she was running out of friends was when it really started going.
Well, and this year I think actually Spanx is going through their 10 years of being in business. So congratulations to them. Absolutely.
That's super. So, Allison, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
I think the website is the best place to find me. So it's AllisonNewton.com. There's a little bit of information about me, about the services that I provide. Again, it's something I created myself, so which is always a work in progress. There's some contact information there as well, or they can always email me directly through the website as well.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on our show today, Allison.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Yeah, our listeners really appreciate you sharing your experiences and your insights.
Absolutely.
Another great show, Bill.
Gosh, Ron, it really was, and I want to thank Allison for being on the show. I also want to give a special thanks to today's sponsor, Ron, Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing. We go the extra step so you don't have to fret. And you can visit our website at www.entrepreneursales.com.
Yep, and if you want to listen to this episode again, you can go to the launchhour.businessradiox.com to listen again. And this is Ron Reardon and Bill McHenry signing off another great session of the Launch Hour.